Hey, I'm just letting you know that in February 2023, I am speaking at my friend Andy Storch's event in Sonoma, California. It's called the Talent Development Think Tank. I'll be running a session on marketing your workshops. And on day three, I'll be hosting the 2-hour workshop blueprint session. I'd love to see you there. Head on over to leannehughes.com/think tank. Enjoy the episode.
Life's too short, so you're here to work and live large. Here's your host with nothing to lose, Leanne Hughes.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes. And hey, I wasn't expecting to bring you this episode today, but I woke up this morning very early around 4 a.m. with the news that Australian cricketing legend Shane Warne died overnight at the age of 52. For those of you outside Australia, in the US, you may not have heard of him, but if you live in the UK, India, South Africa, the West Indies, New Zealand, you definitely would have heard of Shane Warne. And I'm bringing you this episode today because this show is all about working and living large. And to me, if I had to select the face of this podcast, someone actually wrote down as like my dream guest number one, it was Shane Warne. I remember chatting to my friend James Carpenter when I lived in Broome, Western Australia, probably around 2012, and telling him how much I loved Shane Warne, Warney, and just hoping one day that I would meet him. And it was only 2.5 weeks ago, actually, on my return flight from Las Vegas, LA to Sydney. We're landing at Sydney Airport. I saw a guy with a cigarette sitting outside the domestic terminal. He had blonde hair, and of course, it was Shane Warne. I dashed over. I got a photo. We had a wonderful chat. He was extremely engaged and curious and just, I mean, this was 7 o'clock in the morning. So what's the purpose of working and living large? Like, why am I creating this show? And I think if I was to really ask myself like the five whys and really drill underneath the surface, and this played out as well with my previous podcast, First Time Facilitator, that was all about making the most out of these small moments that we have together when groups gather together. How can we make the best out of that experience? And this show is taking it a bit broader and saying, how do we every day make the most out of our lives? And the reason for me is that, well, life is too short. We only get one chance at this. And so what I loved about Warne was his ability to take every day and live it to the full, like an 11 out of 10 day. It just seemed like he lived fearlessly on both the cricket pitch and off. And so who better to help process what has gone on and share the magic of Warne's cricket and life with you than James Carpenter, who I shared that conversation with back in 2012. JC, he loves his cricket. He's a bigger Shane Warne fan than I am, and he's also a wonderful communicator. So even though you may not know him, maybe you'll find it just helpful listening in as two friends talk about this, talk about the impact of Warne and of the broader topic of living a large life. You can find details to contact JC over in the show notes for this one at podcast.leannehughes.com. I asked JC very quickly before we hit record what he wanted me to mention in his interview. And I think this sort of just shows what a class act JC is. He wanted me to mention, I can't let this slip away, that he top scored at 102. So you've hit a century, JC, in your cricketing career. Best bowling was 8 for 25. And he assures me that wasn't the under eights. It was actually a Premier League game over in England. JC, it's so good to chat to you today.
Thank you, Leanne. Thank you. Thank you for bringing up my stats. It's always nice to hear them.
Yeah, I bet. But
thanks for getting in contact as well. It's been a pretty big 12 hours, and you were one of the first people that got in contact. I posted something on Facebook, as you do, when I first heard, and so many people said that the first thing they thought when they heard of it was, "Oh no, how's James going to be?" So
yeah, you're the first person I thought of. Yeah. You're the first person I thought of as well. And I've had people reach out to me because I was lucky enough to run into him. I mean, when I ran into him at Sydney Airport, you're the first person I sent the photo to.
Yeah.
I met Warne.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Like, what were your thoughts when you heard this news?
Well, I guess, you know, the old disbelief thing. But in some ways, there was a lack of disbelief as well. Like, that's so Warne. And there was the crowd kind of found out. But there was a band playing, and when they finished, I said, oh, I just want to announce that there's been a tragic death and that Shane Warne's died, and the guys in the band were like, what? And then they announced it, and then the whole row went quiet. It was then everyone's on their phones, like texting everyone and finding what's going on and saying, and a lot of people were saying, who's Warne? A lot of younger people, I suppose, but definitely anyone over 30 was really hit by it. It had an impact on the whole night as well. Yeah, for me, it was just terribly, terribly sad. you know, I feel like I've grown up together, which is, I think a lot of people feel the same way. Everyone's saying that they feel like they've kind of lost their naughty older brother or something.
Yeah, that's what I loved about him, that sort of that naughty streak, right? And that question, like, who is Warnie to you?
Look, for me, where do I go here? Like, I have the two sides of me, which is my sporting side and, you know, all the man stuff. And you know, when I get on that cricket field, I'm a vicious, angry warrior, and that's how I play my cricket, and that's how he played his cricket. And I was a spin bowler like him as well, so I loved him for all of that. But I also, when I stand back, I'm also a sociologist, so I saw him as an everyman of Australia. Like, he was this really important figure for Australians. He was what you could be. If only you could work really hard and have a bit of luck, a bit of opportunity and take your chances, you know. I just loved that about him, and that he was totally honest. And people aren't used to that honesty. Yes, he done bad things, and yes, he wasn't a great father, but his kids still love him. And his friends, whilst they say, yeah, well, that's Buddy Warnie, that's what he's like. You know, you kind of, it's almost like an Aussie eccentrism. He had, and I just think we really need people like that aren't media manufactured and cultured in that kind of way, that they're their own person, and for good or bad, and generally, you know, he generally did good, or at least you could tell he was trying to do good anyway, you know. And, you know, then obviously Liz Hurley, totally.
Totally got to respect Liz Hurley. Like, for all his flaws. Like, I think you're absolutely nailing why I love him as well. And I listened to a podcast today. I've heard it multiple times. I think the Howie Games did a great two-part interview with Shane Warne. Yep. And in the first part, he was saying, look, I've made so many mistakes. And I just, the fact that you could have a brand where it's okay to make mistakes and people attribute you to it and love you even more as a result of that just shows, yep, like, what a champion he was.
Yeah, yeah. Look, and I will always say this, because I have met Warnie a couple of times, and one of the times was before he was just into the state cricket team. He was a bit of pop property there, but he was just playing state cricket. He'd done nothing miraculous. I'd actually gone to a nightclub where the cricket league I played in was sponsored by Rumours Nightclub, and they'd give man a match for every game that it was played. And I ended up getting quite a few man of the matches over the season. I collected enough, and I had like about $500 of drink vouchers. So yeah. I had my sister and my girlfriend with me, and we went out one night to Rumours to, you know, have a great night. And Damien Fleming and Shane Warne were both there, both young blokes. It would have been 22, 21, 22. And he was a year older than me, so young. And anyway, I turned up with all these things, and I shared them drinks, and they're going, oh, we can't say. I was going, mate, it cost me nothing, you know. And so we were talking together, and Shane was bloody fantastic. I know what cricketers can be like. You know, we've got this reputation of being a gentleman's game, but we're not. And he was a total gentleman, an Australian gentleman. But he talked to people like people. He was totally respectful of my girlfriend, totally respectful of my sister. And Flemmo was exactly the same way. We had a great time. We laughed. We compared calluses on our fingers, which is what spinners do, you know. And he took interest in me. He was like, they were so like, oh, what'd you get this one for, JC? What'd you get this one for? You know, it was just really, really nice. And I've totally rated him ever since. And, you know, a lot of people complain about him. And I say, well, you know, the media portrays people in lots of different ways. And also, we all wear masks depending on what we're doing. What you need to do is meet him. That's who he's like. He also had incredible eyes that just look straight through you. You feel like you're the only person in the world when he looks at you.
That's exactly how I felt. And I've actually, like, because that was just, I mean, yeah, I ran running into the airport. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. There's no reason, like, he didn't need to stop and have a chat. But I think I said to him, oh, Warnie, I've just been to Vegas. I've just come off the plane. I'm so delighted to meet you. And he's like, you've been to Vegas? And you're so right about it. His eye contact, it was like direct. Yeah. And it's like, I was the only person at the airport. And he was asking me questions about, like, who is this? Yeah. Like, he doesn't even know who I am. Yeah. But he was so, it made me feel so special.
Totally. Yeah. So that's charisma, isn't it? He's got charisma, and it's an Australian charisma. It's a Bogan charisma. So I love that. So I'm a bit of a Bogan. I'm an old boy. I grew up in the hills. So there's an Australianness to him, which we could all learn from. Own up to mistakes. Make mistakes.
Make live mistakes.
Life. And I guess that's for me as well. You know, his right of the his way of living life. And you know, who knows what's happened in Thailand? I've heard two different stories. One of them is more believable than the other, but the other one that I don't necessarily believe was that he was there for some kind of fitness health 2 weeks thing to get himself feeling and looking really good.
I saw that. Yeah, he posted that on Instagram, was that he was going through this sort of transition to get back to health. And I have to ask you about, because you are a cricketer, from him, watching him develop as a spin bowler and representing Australia, are there any sort of like highlight moments from his cricketing career that you think that you just want to call out?
He possessed this rare ability on the field to – there's a moment in cricket where even over 5 days, which is amazing, we play sport for 5 days, but even in club cricket at one of those or whatever, there's a moment in the game where you know you're going to win, right? And only the truly amazing can stop that from happening. Shane Warne knew that moment before anyone else knew that moment in the game, and he was so good at just making that moment come really quickly and then finish off the rest of the match. Like he won games for us because he seized that moment, that time when that something needed to happen. If that happened, then that the rest of it would work out. He was incredible for that. And I think, you know, everyone who watched him play, you're mesmerised by watching him play. He was endlessly fascinating in what he was doing. I would always say the best captain Australia's never had. He would have been an incredible captain. But I'm not too sure how his man management would have been. I think his cricket knowledge and tactical and strategic know-how would have been something to behold. But yeah, watching him play cricket, and also I was a spinner, so I we're part of the brotherhood, and we all appreciate each other and what they do. And in fact, what I did with the other arm, so with the left arm, but it went the same way as him. So often a lot of where he was bowling is where I'd be bowling because we were doing the same things. In fact, a lot my bowling was quite similar to his, except it came out of the fingers rather than the wrists. So and also I loved to, he was a tailender as well as a batsman, and I was a tailender batsman, and yeah. And you know, he'd be coming in at 8 or 9, and there's a thing there where you either sometimes come in, you've got to attack, and he could do that. The beauty of cricket is, of course, that you step onto that field and nothing else in the world matters for you. And I'm sure he used the cricket field a lot of times as a refuge. I know he did, because we all do. It is an incredible refuge for men and women, I guess, as well, where you can not think about anything else for 6 to 8 hours of a day other than that very ball at the time. So it's incredibly therapeutic thing, cricket. Of course, I remember his ball in 1993. I had a couple of English mates over watching cricket with me at the time, and we'd all heard about Warney, and we knew that he'd played a game where he got belted by the English. We were wondering what was going on. Later turns out that he only bowled the stock delivery. He didn't try anything different at all the whole game. So when he comes out to bowl, and it's his first ball, and, you know, there's the crowds all, you know, the English crowd gets this amazing hush about it sometimes. And he comes on and bowls his ball that was, it's truly unbelievably good. You watch it and you just think, this is just, what could you do about that? People talk about, yeah, I ought to just come out and hit him. But, you know, first ball of a bowler in Test cricket, you're not going to come out and hit him. But prior to that, he played against India in Australia and got absolutely smashed. Had 3 for 300 to start off with. And then I saw a couple of replays of I think it was Pakistani batsman, and where he had a long chat, his last ball of the day, had a long chat with Ian Healy at the end of the day, and they were joking. Apparently they're talking about what they're having for dinner that night, but they're just trying to hold it up, add pressure. And yeah, came around and bowled this ball, and smashed him and bowled him behind the legs, the last ball of the day, and the whole crowd went absolutely crazy, and Healy jumped up. It was just an incredible moment, and he was just the master of those incredible moments.
Yeah.
He'd just make them happen all the time. We obviously had a great team as well around him, but, you know, he was just a huge part of that.
Yeah, really was like a marquee player. Like, he attracted people that probably weren't necessarily into cricket to the game because of his flair,
the way that he played the game.
Yeah.
And in different ways as well, I think, over time. He came out as this blonde bombshell type thing at the start and rode that. And I don't know if you've seen his documentary that came out quite recently.
I haven't seen it, no, but I'm going to watch it later today, the one on Amazon Prime.
It was what you'd expect it to be in a lot of ways. It was no, you know, Chomsky or anything, but it was what was beautiful about it was that he showed his like charts and the way he'd been loved and hated. And he said, you know, his first 4 years of cricket, he just couldn't do anything wrong. It was everything he did went well, and he was totally fated, and he meeting Michael Jordan and then all of a sudden, I think it might have been the doping thing where he took the diuretic or something like that. And then he went down and he said, all of a sudden I couldn't do anything right. You know, I just, nothing I did was right. Everything I did was stupid or whatever. He said, and I'd just gone from everything being perfect. He said it was totally, totally perplexing. And that was nice, that documentary, for nothing else, that it showed how much his kids loved him.
Mm.
And I think it was really important to him. That I think he recognised the sacrifice that had to be made for his career and for his cricket, and that it was totally selfish of him to do that, and that he regrets it now. But he understands that that's what he needed to do, and that he's totally thankful that his kids kind of see that and understand that and totally love him now as well. And you know, same as the man he is and was, and. But still love him for that.
Yeah. I think isn't it lovely that was captured in a documentary like that? And then there was he did the stage show as well, I think, was a couple of years ago, pre-COVID. I never got around to seeing that. That would have been a thrill.
The Warnie stage show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that, the guy who wrote that, wrote a really lovely tribute to him today as well, which is around somewhere near the ether, which is, and there's been a lot of them actually. Some really nice things said by a lot of people. It's really been fantastic actually, because you know he wasn't part of the good zeitgeist for the last couple of years. Really, people were turning a bit against him. He was probably getting too much into this kind of character.
Well, it was funny because when I posted a photo of Warnie on this Facebook group for frequent flyers, like, oh wow, touchdown into Sydney, and then like tracking the comments, it was like 50% we love Warnie. The other 50 were like commiserations, and I think
really.
I mean, I'm sure today they're just like, I mean, you can't, just the impact that he had on all of our lives and across Australia as well. I was trying to explain it to a friend in America. I guess the parallel was like Kobe Bryant, just the level of impact, not only as a human, as a sportsman, but a human as well.
It's interesting. Last night I met this English girl. She's 30. So she didn't really know much about Shane. A lot of the English don't know about Shane or know about cricket.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of someone who might be like similar. And I said, Robbie Williams. He's like your Robbie Williams.
Mm.
In some ways, like it's cricket and showbiz, but it's the same kind of persona. Everyone kind of likes him. He says a lot of sensible things. Sometimes he goes a bit overboard, but you know, that's Robbie. That's
it is.
Warnie.
Yeah.
And so she said, right, now I really understand why everyone's so upset.
Everyone's so good. I can imagine it, Robbie, last night, that feeling, it would have just cut through. That, yeah, you can't. I mean, I woke up this morning and it was a friend, you might be listening, Mark Garrett Hayes, I had all these messages and I was like, what's going on? Like, what's happened overnight?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
And he's like, oh, I saw that photo, I just wanted to let you know, like, I'm so gutted for you. It's like, yeah, I mean, the outpouring has been immense. JC, something I want to share on this. I remember, I don't know how often you used to do it, but I remember once, so there's a local newspaper called the Broome Advertiser, and you'd often get photos, you'd often get photographed in the social pages, and you never gave them your name. You told them you were Shane Warne. Did you do that like on a couple occasions, or was it that one off? And like, why did you do that?
No, it was totally a bucket list thing of mine. And okay. I tried for years to get myself in the paper with Shane Warne under the photo with my as name. So what I realized, I've got a couple of good friends in the media up here, and it kind of worked against me because I'd met them all before I bump into them in the street. So anyway, there's lots of events in Broome, especially during the dry season, you know, art galleries and whatever. And so one of the art exhibition nights, this new photographer of the town came and said, oh guys, you gotta get a photo. He said, oh, what's your name? I said, Shane Warne. I said, yeah, I know, mate. No one ever, you know, everyone says that. But I said, what can I do? I said, I was born before him. He said, yeah, no, I get it. Write it down. Next week I'm in the paper, Shane Warne.
The best.
Bucket list. Yeah. It was I've got that. I've printed off. I've got it in my photo album. Don't worry about that.
I'm just curious. So the impact on, we spoke about his impact on you personally, also the way that you played cricket in terms of fielding positions and the way that you spun the ball. What about like Australia generally? Do you have any thoughts on Shane's impact on our nation?
I'd say there'll be a lot of people. I know there are a lot of people who are quite upset by this. And you know, I think who knows what could come from that. Shane Warne was too young to die. And we all, you know, we kind of laughed and it was part of him, but he had a terrible diet, probably some really bad habits, and probably a pretty stressful life. And I'd say all those things can go into, you know, maybe there's some health messages there that can get through to people. I know my mum rang me this morning and said, oh, you know, James, I keep telling you, once you get 50 or anything can really happen, you've got to be really careful like this. And so I think mums out there are thinking, this could be my son. That's popped it at 52. And I think a lot of my mates last night were thinking, we're all 50. Yeah, he was very important to our psyche and what our culture represented. He loved his, he loved his footy. You know, I'm not into my footy, but he loved his footy, and that really appealed to a lot of Australians. And the fact that he could actually love footy more than cricket and actually become one of the world's best cricket players is totally Shane Warne, isn't it? Just a paradox. Mm. But I think he represented, a lot of. Yeah, a bit of anti-establishment, a bit of Bogan, a bit of, okay, thanks, docs, I'll take your advice, but I won't follow it. So he was his own man in that regard, and I think that was a really powerful message. I think Australian men really appealed to that, and I think probably a lot of Australian women appealed to that as well. You know, I think there was a level of individuality there that wasn't that kind of totally up yourself individuality. I don't ever got a sense of him being totally up himself. Maybe some of his commentating of the last few years, people have been thinking that, but definitely he's wearing a mask when he's doing that. He's putting an act on. But I think there was an individuality there that appealed to us. It was a Ned Kelly, He was a He was a Dennis Lilley. He was Ian Chappell. He was all those good Australians from Doug Walters, from that line of hard drinking, hard living Aussie men who come and give it their all for Australia on the cricket field.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I think I was saying to you, like because we got our photo at Sydney Airport, I could smell the cigarette smoke coming from it. But I think that was absolutely part of the appeal, was that you can be this world-class athlete and still do these things and just not buying into the stereotype of what an athlete should look like. And I believe, yes, absolutely, sports stars should be role models. But I think in terms of his generosity, what he did for the grassroots cricket, I think he did a superb job in that regard.
Yeah, look, and I don't necessarily agree with you on that sports stars should be role models. I think sports stars come from all sorts of different areas, and we shouldn't necessarily make them the role models. We make them role models. They don't make themselves role models. Yeah. And I think you sometimes can choose better than a sports star, but a sports star is a sports star. It's what they do on the field. It's not about how they are as people, if you ask me. Not to forgive everything, but I certainly can forgive a lot of things that are kind of moralistic. I did wake up this morning and think, okay, James, I've been trying to lose weight. I've been doing the low-carb thing, and now I know I've got to do more exercise. So
yes.
I did think that this morning, and I did think about it. And I think others will be thinking that as well today. I do. I really do. The blokes I was out, because I was at a 50th last night, 50th.
Oh, my gosh.
So everyone there was totally hit by it. But I reckon they'll be thinking those things this morning. I think a lot of people were slagging him off of late, and I'm always a staunch defender of Warnie, but I don't think people will be slagging him off anymore. And, there's never a good time to go, but he's going to leave on a high, if you ask me. He's leaving on a high. He's never going to fade away now.
Never. Thank you, JC. And I think, the lesson for me is the same as you. It's like, fitness and health are very important, but also just seizing the opportunity. And I think that's what he did
in a way totally that he lived his life.
Fearless.
Yeah. And look, and make mistakes. Because by making mistakes, you're actually trying things. So mistakes are just a result of trying things. Don't let it stop you. Just maybe don't do that again. Try something different. But keep trying. I know I totally think there's a life lesson in that. There always has been. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing this. It's been really good to talk about this, actually, because to help process it, because I think still probably in shock, and just to reflect on some of the highlights and what we've learned from him has been just a blessing with you, JC, so thank you.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. I've been thinking actually whether up in Broome here to call something for people who want to express their feelings about it. I feel there's some kind of need out there for it. I do. We put a bonfire on the beach at night tonight or something, and just come down and talk about Shane or something. I don't know. It just feels like there'll be a lot of grief out there.
I agree, and that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I think I've been sort of watching all the video interviews. I watched one with Alan Border this morning and former England
cricket captain.
Oh, he's gutted, but it helps me process and celebrate Warnie's life. Yeah. And so that was also the intention of talking to you today. It was like someone that gets it, right? That I know will get it. Yeah, and totally. I hope people listening that needed this also have it's created the space for you to think about Warnie as well, and what his impact on you and what you can do differently in your life as well. Yeah. Thank you. You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning in to Work and Live Large. I really appreciate you. If you know someone in your network and you think, oh my gosh, they got so much potential, like I want them to live and work larger, send them this episode. I think they might appreciate it. I also appreciate hearing from you, your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, anything. You can shoot me an email, hello@leannehughes.com, or find me on LinkedIn, just search for Leanne Hughes. Stay up to date with all the episodes by heading on over to leannehughes.com/subscribe, and all the best with your week as you go around living it up.